and verse 22 tonight as we continue our series on the fruit, juicy fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. Don't you love juicy fruit, the chewing gum? Have you had some lately? Amen. That's what the Lord wants. He wants us to have some juicy fruit. He wants us to have a Christian life that is full of the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. If you're there, say amen. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, or faithfulness. Verse 23, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Verse 22, but the fruit, not the fruits, one fruit, many vitamins, multivitamin, fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and long-suffering. Tonight we're going to be looking at the fourth, which is long-suffering, or the title of the message tonight is the power of patience. And I'm just going to take my time tonight. I don't want you to be in a hurry. Usually I'm to the point, get to it, and let's go. But for some reason I feel led to just take my time tonight. I had a doctor's appointment today at 3 o'clock. I got there at 2:45. 3:15, I'm still sitting there. 3:30, I'm still sitting there. 1 hour later, I'm still sitting there at 3:45. 4 o'clock, I'm still sitting there. And you know what I'm doing while I'm sitting there? I'm studying this sermon called The Power of Patience. 4:15, an hour and a half later, they call me back. The lady says, I'm so sorry about that. We're running behind today. I said, don't worry, sister. I'm a patient. Father, tonight, thank you for patience. Thank you for the fruit of the Spirit, even in doctor's waiting rooms, even in a long sermon. And I pray tonight, God, that you'd cultivate that in our life as we are patient, as you've been patient to us. We'll give you all the praise for it. And everybody said, amen. Now, I want to take a test tonight, find out whether you're patient, all right? Are you ready for this? How do you deal with irritations? Things that bug you. Cold food. Long lines. Inept clerks. Traffic jams. Lost keys. Flat tires. How do you deal with those irritations? And how do you deal with inconveniences? You know, we like everything fast now. Wanted it yesterday. We don't want to be inconvenient. Therefore, we have fast food. And these fast foods, we've gone from the drive-through to the ER because of the health issues. We have instant coffee. We have instant oatmeal. Microwave ovens. Everything is fast because we want it, and we want it now. I'm going to say something probably a little controversial. But I'm 45 years old. I'll be 46 in just a few weeks. Oh, thank you. Hallelujah. Glory. When I was growing up, when a woman got pregnant, nobody knew the day or the hour. And sometimes those ladies would get so big. How long have you been pregnant? 9 months. Any day. A week goes by. 2 weeks go by. And finally, the water breaks. The only way to the hospital. But I've noticed in the last few years it don't quite work like it did. The doctors say if that baby's not here by that date, we're taking it. I'm not saying that's wrong, but I'm saying that's different. Amen. In all of history, the baby came when the baby came, but now the baby comes, and if it ain't come, we're going to take it. Now, I didn't say anything was wrong with that, okay? I'm just telling you, that's a different world we live in. We don't like inconvenience. You know that somebody said that we spend 6 months waiting at red lights. Whoever said that lived in Wilson, North Carolina. Amen. Somebody says when you're waiting at the red light and the light turns green, and if you don't move in 3 seconds, then the guy behind you turns red. Did you catch that? The red light goes to green, and if you don't move, the guy behind you goes from white or whatever color to red. Amen. We are impatient. How do you deal with irritations, inconveniences? What about incapacities? When you have a situation in your family with your loved ones, or you have a situation with your health, incapacitated, or your business, you find yourself, I would give all that I possess to change the situation, but you don't have the capacity to change that situation. How do you react to incapacities, or how do you react to incomprehensibles? Not only can you not do anything about it, you're incapacitated, but sometimes it just doesn't make sense. You put it through your own Luther formulas. It just doesn't work out. What do you do? How do you react? When you think about it, you can't understand it. It doesn't make sense. So how patient are you when you deal with the irritations, the inconveniences, the incapacities, the imponderables, and you say, Pastor, I'm really not doing that good on your checklist? Well, if that's the case, then you might have need of the power of patience. Amen. Now, you do need patience, and I do need patience when we deal with these irritations, inconveniences, incapacities, imponderables, and irritations. Do you know what the Bible says? Do you know why these things come to us? The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 3, listen to this, Romans 5 and verse 3, that tribulation works patience. Tribulation works patience. Do you wonder why all these things are coming into your life? They're not only coming there to reveal impatience, but God is allowing them to grow patience. What is that word? Fruit of the Spirit that must what? Fruit grows. And so I want us to talk about that growing of patience in our life. Now, I'm going to be very honest with you tonight. I really wish that Pastor Jerry was preaching this sermon, because I have gotten so under conviction putting this message together, because I am tend to be very impatient. And my wife doesn't need to say an amen real loud, but she knows it. That I tend to be very impatient when I go to a store. I don't want to see a long line. I don't want to wait 20 minutes from now if things are not right, that's okay. I'm very patient. But when things are not, I get impatient. And of all people, let me tell you, we must be patient. I must be patient, because let me tell you, God has been patient to us. We don't get any of what we deserve. And so I'm preaching to the choir, I'm preaching to the church, and I'm preaching to myself. And so I'm going to take my time, because I want me to hear this first, and then I want you to hear it, and then I want us to rejoice in what the Lord is doing as He cultivates the fruit of the Spirit. Listen, we can speak in tongues, run the aisles, prophesy, but love is patient and love is kind, and it does not do anything unseemly. I don't care how spiritual you are. One of the greatest things of spirituality is being patient with things and with people and with situations and waiting on the Lord. Has anybody ever heard that phrase? Sometimes you just got to wait, I say, on the Lord. He may not come now. And listen, He is seldom early, but He is never late. And I'll tell you, sometimes waiting time feels like wasted time. But when you wait on the Lord, He will renew your strength. You will mount up with wings like the eagle, and He will not disappoint those who wait patiently for the Lord and let God do His work. I wish somebody would say amen tonight. Amen. I got 3 points tonight. First of all, what is patience? Be good to define it, because we have different ideas about it. But if you go back to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, here's a King James Version word that we don't use anymore, but it is the best definition of patience. Go to Galatians 5 and verse 22, if you can, Brother Blue. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. What's that next word? That's exactly what patience is. It is long suffering. Come on now. But I want you to know, and I want to give you a little hope here, because patience is not just merely the ability to put up with something tedious. That is patience, But that's not all of what we're talking about. Nor is it even the ability to endure pain and suffering or even irritable people. One of the reasons I don't like to fly is because I can't imagine being sitting next to somebody with problems. That's all I'm going to say about that. And but that's not a good thing to have. So y'all pray for me, okay? And is it okay if I just be transparent here tonight? So while God works in me, He works in me through the prayers of His people. Amen. So I'm getting under conviction. Any moment I might step at the altar and have a word of prayer. Would that be okay with you? But I can just imagine being sitting in a crowded airplane and a screaming baby in front of me. And you got a 3-hour flight. And I just know that I've got to cultivate very quickly the fruit of the Spirit, which is patience. I don't really mind a crying baby. I don't mind a child that is a child. I just mind when the parent don't take care of it. Amen. Are you with me here tonight? Children today can run and jump and man, and it's dangerous. And the parents over there on the Facebook and text, and I'm like, get off the phone and mind your chillings. Amen. Spoken from a man who's never had children. Amen. If I ever have them, I'll probably do the same thing. Let you take care of them for a few minutes. Amen. You go to Cracker Barrel. You've worked all day. You haven't seen your wife. Hot biscuits in front of you. And at the table next to you, they sit down a couple. Mom's hair's all messed up. Dad has no clue. And 5 children throwing utensils, screaming to the top of their lungs. And mom and dad is over there just not doing a thing. Patience. Somebody say patience. Somebody say parenting. No, don't say that. Hallelujah. By the way, it is proper and correct that children should be disciplined. Amen. Corrected. Hold your voice down. You get a whipping. Act right. Now, even when you do that, they're still going to be kids, right? So you got to be firm and flexible. Amen. That's why you use a belt. You know, that belt is firm, but it's also flexible. Amen. Lord, I have just blasphemed. I said, use a belt. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to be arrested when I get home. The police are already coming. I've said it to the world. Use a belt on your children. You remember I said I was going to pray. Right now is a good time for me to pray. Well, it worked for me. I was a patriotic child. I had the red, white, and blue back there. As God is my witness, my daddy used it. My sister was born in 1982. She's a millennial. She never had the first whipping with a belt. And it showed. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just picking. I love you, Jennifer. Amen. But listen, let me tell you what a definition of patience is. And I want you to listen to this. A guy by the name of Barclay, B-A-R-K-L-E-Y, said, "It is not the patience which can set down, bow its head and let things descend upon it and passively endure until the storm is past." The meaning of patience, it is the spirit or the attitude which can bear things not simply with resignation, but with blazing hope. It is not the spirit which sits statically enduring in one place, but the spirit or the attitude which bears things because it knows that these things are leading to a goal of glory. Please hear that. We're not talking about being patient at the line at Hardee's. We're not talking about being patient when they've delayed your food. Just being patient, kind of waiting, trying to be Christian about it. We're talking about patience, not just sitting there and resigning, oh man. No, it is hope. It's a blazing hope. I'm going through what I'm going through, and I don't see the end of it, But beyond this, I know God is going to work it out. It will be all things for my good. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of glory, which fadeth not away. So patience is not just, I'm just going to sit through this. Patience is, it is leading to a godly goal in our life. And that's why when we tell young people, do not have relations, wait until the, don't move in first and then get married later. No, be patient, establish a job, and then on the wedding day you come together, because there is, God is glorified and things are in divine order. There is a hope, there's a goal to the end of your waiting. And I wish somebody would say amen. Hallelujah. I know that whatever befall, Jesus does all things well. So in the midst of this, whatever it is, I will give him praise. That, my friend, is the fruit of the Spirit. I am waiting and trusting in the Lord, knowing that he's going to work it out. And by the way, being patient doesn't mean you're inactive. Amen. People say, well, I'm just waiting on the Lord. Yeah, but the word wait is the same as we get from a waiter or waitress. You don't ever see them sitting around in the break room just waiting on people. No, they're waiting on people. How can I serve you? What can I do? And one of the things that will help you be patient is to be active in your praise. Active, if you, you know, if you can't do what you want to do, you do what you can do, and then God will let you do what you need to do. Amen. Be patient, my brethren, to the coming of the Lord. By the way, he's coming soon. And we're all patient because we know soon and very soon we're going to see the Lord. Amen. We're going through these political dramas and Hillary and Trump and the Russians and this, that, and the other. I'll let the heathen rage. I feel a preach coming on tonight. Let the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing. Psalm 2. But he that sitteth in the heaven is patient. And he's laughing because when it's all said and done, he will reign forever and forever and forever. Wait on the Lord. But while you're waiting, win people. Love people. Serve the church. Be here at the house of God and let the Lord move in your life. Have blazing hope and knowing that God is doing all things well. Give the Lord a hand of praise and don't quit. Winners never quit, and we'll say it one more time. Winners never quit, and so why, number two, point two, why is patience important? I want to give you five qualities of patience. In fact, I want you to go to the book of James, chapter 1, and we may have this on the overhead, but a Christian with all of the flowers and the fruits and the graces and the beauties of the Lord. How many of you really want to be a full-grown, mature Christian like Jesus? How many of you want to be like Jesus? Fully mature in the Lord, strong in the Lord, loving God, with the fruits and graces and beauties of the Lord, that when people see you, they really see the Lord. How many of you would like for people to look at you and see Jesus? How many of you would like in every circumstance to be victorious? I mean, triumphing over everything that comes your way. How many of you would like to do that? Let me see your hand tonight. Well, everything I've just described comes through patience. You really want to be like the Lord? It comes through patience. You want to be victorious in every area of your life? It comes through patience. You want people who look at you to see Jesus? It comes through patience. And by the way, you have to be patient at yourself sometime. Maybe no, you don't, but I have to. Because I'm not where I want to be. And in fact, if you think that you've arrived, you've aimed too low. Amen? I've not arrived, but I should be further along than I am. Amen? I feel like at age 46, I've served the Lord since 1984 is when I got saved. I was 12 years old. I thought by the time I was 40, I would be like David, you know, praise God. I'd be like the Apostle Paul. I'd be like, you know, I would just be some super spiritual giant. I thought, man, by the time I get to be 40, man, I'll have prayed and fasted and served God. But I realized at age 45, I'm still flawed. I'm still messed up. I'm still impatient at times. I still got a lot more that's been given to me and a lot less that I've produced. And so therefore, I am still at the foot of the cross needing His grace and His mercy now more than ever in my life. And I realize, in fact, the closer you get to God, well, just think about it. The closer you get to light, the more of the imperfections you'll see. This room is not very bright. It's that way for live streaming. But if we were to brighten these lights in here, you might see things you don't see. The closer you get to God, the more of His glory you see, the more of your sinfulness you see. That's why none of us can boast. That's why none of us can say, I have arrived. And so if you want to be like Jesus, if you want to be victorious, then in the book of James, it comes through patience. First of all, maturity. Patience is necessary for maturity. Look at James chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. Knowing this, that the testing of your faith works patience. Now, the testing of your faith are those irritations, those imponderables, those incapacities that I'm talking about, those inconveniences, those trials, those tears, those tribulations, knowing this, in James chapter 1, verses 3 through 4, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience, but allow patience to have her perfect work that you may be perfect. That word perfect doesn't mean perfect in the sense of no problems. The word perfect is really in the sense of maturity. Amen. So if you want to be mature in the Lord, it comes through patience. God wants you to be a full grown Christian. Children are a child. One of the characteristics of children is that they are very impatient. Now, I've not been a parent, but I'm just saying by observation. And how many of you have children? Would you agree with me, Pastor? Children are very impatient. Okay, we're going to drive to Disney World. We load up the minivan. We strap the kids in the back seat. We pull out of the driveway. We're down I-95. About the time you get down to Smithfield, the question from the back seat comes from the children. And what is that question, church? Okay, that's what I'm talking about, okay? Are we there yet? Because a characteristic of a child is, I want it and I want it now. I'm not waiting for it. You're going to wait till supper. No, I want it right this minute, this exact minute. And sadly, some parents, just to avoid the conflict, just to avoid being a parent like they should be, they'll just give it to them so they'll shut up. Am I being plain Jane tonight? The problem is you're putting a Band-Aid over a character issue there. You have to teach patience. You can wait for it. Well, I'm going to cry until you give it to me. Well, I'll give you, my daddy said, I'll give you something to cry about. I'm going to hush you. I'm just, it worked for me. Praise God, somebody. Children, they want it now. But there is no maturity without patience. There's no patience without trials. And if you're not mature, you're not like the Lord Jesus. The Bible says God wants to bring you into the fullness of Christ, Ephesians 4 and 13. And the way God does it is to allow you to have tests and trials and tribulations in order that you might mature. If you tell a child, wait a while, it's the equivalent to them of saying no. They want it now, but God is interested in growing you up, making you mature. And I'm going to tell you that the only way that you will learn maturity is through tribulation that works patience. There's a Danish proverb that says, give to a pig when it grunts and give to a child when it cries. You'll have a fine pig, but a bad child. Lord, I don't want to suffer. Lord, I don't want to wait. Lord, I don't want problems. I want it to be all honey, but no bees. Did you know He said, I'm going to send you to a land flowing with milk and honey? Say amen. Somebody say Canaan land. It's just inside. But you know what? You can't have a land of milk and honey without cows and bees. Come on. Now, I wasn't a farmer, but I'm going to tell you, the cows didn't just roll over and say, have all the milk you want. True? There had to be some patience. There had to be some work done. And I'm going to tell you, you don't get honey without getting stung every now and then. Friend, it ain't all honey and bees. And even in the church, not everybody's going to pat you on the back, celebrate you, thank you, appreciate your gift. Well, bless God, I'll go somewhere where they'll appreciate it. No, you're going to go somewhere and find the same stuff, because people is people, no matter skin is skin, human is human, no matter, flesh is flesh, no matter whose bones is on. Amen. So just be patient with those who are impatient, because God will teach you. I walked a mile with pleasure. She chatted all the way, but left me none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow, and narrow words she said, but all the things I learned from her when sorrow walked with me. It takes tribulation, trials, tests. Now, I'm not asking you to go out there and say, well, Lord, just give me trials and give me tests. You don't have to pray that. It's going to come. And when we do have trials and tests, it doesn't mean we have to, they're not all from the Lord. Sometimes the devil's. But you know, even when the devil is against us, it helps us in our patience. Because you know what? You can defeat the devil today, but I have learned something since I've been saved since 1984. As he is still trying to get me in 2017, you'd think he'd give up. But let me tell you, the devil is as patient as we should be. But I know one day God's going to finish him and bind him and cast him into the lake of fire forever and forever. So I'm going to keep on in the fight of faith and knowing that God is maturing me. Patience is necessary for maturity. Patience is necessary for victory. Look again. Do you want to be a full-grown Christian? Do you want a victorious Christian? How many of you want a victorious Christian life? Well, you can't have victory without a battle. Can I get an amen? Now go back to James chapter 1. Look at verse 12. James chapter 1. Blessed is the man that what? Endureth temptation. You know what that word endure means? It means has patience. Blessed is man that is patient in trials, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now that crown of life can refer to the crown of life we receive, eternal life forever and ever, when we die or when the Lord raptures us. But I also believe there's a crown in this life. I believe that God will give us victory. People say, well, I'm going to get victory in the sweet by and by. No, I need victory in the nasty now and now. Amen. Thank God for victory in the heavenly city, but I need victory at best by tomorrow when I go to work. Can I get a witness? I believe that when you're a patient and you trust the Lord, He will give you victory in this world and in the world to come. Amen. Victory is, we talk about maturity. We talk about victory. Patience is necessary for prosperity. Now go to James chapter 5. Now, I want you to notice this in James chapter 5 verse 7. It says, listen to this, James chapter 5 verse 7. Be what? Therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. I just talked about that. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. Now, that word husbandman means farmer. So, the farmer waits for the fruit. Say that with me. The farmer waits for the fruit. He waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rain. Now, what is he saying? He's saying, if you are a farmer, remember this. You can't hurry the harvest. If you want prosperity, you're going to have patience. There is no such thing as overnight success. There is no such thing as get rich quick. You say, well, so-and-so, it happened to them. That is the exception and not the norm. Wealth is built up over a long time of sowing and reaping and making wise financial decisions. The point I'm trying to tell you is that it may not happen overnight. When the farmer plants a seed He doesn't go back to the house, eat a sandwich, and come back, and boom, there it is. He has to work on that seed. God has to work on that seed. It has to be the early rain, the latter rain. Notice the conjunction. God does his. See, the farmer can do all he wants to do, but if God doesn't do what he does, it's not going to happen. Amen? And if the farmer doesn't do what he does, and God sends the rain, there's no seed there for it to benefit. So listen, if you want to have prosperity, you've got to be like the farmer. You've got to sow, and you've got to be patient until your crop comes in. Amen. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 says, in due season you will reap if you faint not. In due season. I believe that there is due season coming for the people of God who are patient and who wait upon Him. And I'll tell you something else. You've got to be patient in your marriage. Because there comes, and I don't care if you're 20 years married, 2 years married, or 50 years married. You got to be patient with your spouse. And people I used to think some crazy things back in 1984. I used to think, man, if I didn't get married, I would be free to pray for 12 hours a day. You know, if I get married, I got to take care of my wife. We got to cook dinner. I got to make sure she's taken care of. And then we'll probably have children, which we never did, but we'll have children. And then I've got to take them to the mall and shop for tennis shoes and got to take them to Disney World. And I can't stand Disney World. I don't like roller coasters, but I got to do all of that. And I thought, man, I said, man, I'm going to be single. I'm just going to serve God and have all this time. And I'm going to be such a holy man if I don't get married. I used to think like that. But I wanted to get married. I did want to have children. And I said, well, I'm going to get married and praise God, I'm going to be a man of God and be as spiritual as I can. And so when I got married, Darnell, every now and then, I'd get upset. She'd do something that upset me. And I would get so mad. We'd have an argument. And when we'd have an argument, I would feel like I was backslid. The devil would jump over me and tell me what a bad husband I was. I'd preach on Sunday morning and Monday night we would be at it and things not going right. And then I began to realize, you know what? I can keep this argument going or I can be patient and I can forgive her. And so I'd go in there and say, honey, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have said what I said. Not the way that I said it. Would you find it in your heart to forgive me? And she'd cry a little bit, and I'd cry a little bit, and we'd hug and embrace, and everything was just wonderful. And then I began to realize, you know what really makes me spiritual? It's not praying 12 hours a day like I thought. That'll be good. But when I forgive that woman who hurts my feelings, gets on my last nerve at times, you know, I get on her nerve too. I got to get out of this quick, folks. Let me tell you, marriage will sanctify you. Every time that you had your bags packed, you had your bags packed and I'm leaving that man, and you'd walk out the door and you'd be like, no, I done spent 10 years with him. Everybody's got a problem. I just deal with it, and God forgive me, forgive him. I tell you, that'll make you holy. Hallelujah. When you forgive and love, when it's not easy to love, marriage is a sanctifying thing, and it's a wonderful thing when I have a woman who I commit to, when we're married 50 years, if the Lord allows us to live and tarry, and he tarries, and I'm on our 50th anniversary, we can look back and say we had our tough times, but I'm still with you, baby. And God is good all the time. That's patience, and that's victory, and that's prosperity. I gotta have somebody to push me around in a nursing home. I ain't gonna get rid of her now. These men that are 7 years old, and they marry some young woman, and then they go off and leave them when they're in a nursing home. I mean, come on. I'm messing around. Let me move on here. Be patient. The point I'm trying to say is, I've been a pastor, and I've seen marriages go through affairs, drugs, betrayal. And sometimes the marriage didn't make it. But I tell you what, many times God would work in that man and woman. Say, I know you've messed up, but I love you and I'll forgive you. That, my friend, is spirituality. If you never speak in tongues. Because there's a harvest and we'll reap. The Bible says in Psalms 27:14, wait on the Lord. And sometimes I'll talk to ministers and their spouse is so hard and difficult. And I've seen that. I've seen a minister, and it goes both ways. Man, very difficult, very hard. Or the woman, very difficult, very hard. And they would just throw fire all the time. And I'd say, listen, every time that man throws fire to you, turn around and throw water. Don't fan the flame, but show the love of God. And be patient, because God has a way of changing people. Now, I'm not talking about physical abuse. If there's physical abuse, they're putting a gun to your head. They're hurting you physically. There's things you have to do for the protection of your life and the life of your children. But I'm talking about just the attitudes and the problems of life. Listen, let me tell you something. Getting off marriage, but and just remember this. Delays doesn't mean God has denied it. Amen? If you want God to answer, how many of you want God to answer your prayers? Come on, let me see your hand. How many of you want to do it? Well, let me tell you something. I've had the Lord to answer prayers in my life. But I'll tell you, Sister Clara, most of the time God has answered prayers in my life, it never was on my time schedule. When you pray, you got to sow in prayer. And you got to be patient in prayer. Somebody say patient in prayer. There's prayers that some of you will pray that may not get answered until after you're gone. I'm going to repeat that. There's prayers that you may pray that may not get answered in this world. There's prayers that my great-grandmother prayed that are still being answered now. Can I get a witness? Amen. Let me tell you something. With God, timing is far more important than time. In due season, we will reap. So, question is, why is patience important? It's important for maturity, say amen. It's important for victory, say amen, if you want to win the victory. It's important for prosperity if you want to reap and the harvest. And then it's also important for tranquility. Look at James chapter 5 verses 10 through 11. Look at it. James chapter 5 verses, take my brethren the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Patience is necessary for tranquility. Listen, you cannot be happy and impatient at the same time. Have you ever been really happy waiting an hour and 35 minutes at the doctor's office? I mean, get real. You can't be happy and impatient at the same time. But yet the Bible says that we are to rejoice in waiting upon the Lord. And listen, the Bible says we count them happy which have patience. Amen. You know, laughter, let me say it this then. If you're having trouble with patience, try to laugh a little bit. Learn to laugh at your problems. We count them happy. You know, really, folks, can worrying about it really change the situation? Just be happy. Somebody say, don't worry. Tell somebody, don't worry. Be happy. Because God is working. Amen. And some things you just got to learn to endure. Endurance is a character. Waiting is part of your character. There was a man who had a beautiful lawn. He moved to a house, built a house. And people say, well, if the Lord will change it, I'll be happy. No, be happy and watch God change it. And by the way, sometimes he doesn't change it, he changes you. A man one time, he built a house and he prided himself on his beautiful lawn. And, But he looked out there and dandelions started growing all over his lawn. So he went down to the garden store and at the local garden store. And they said, well, if you do this, you'll get rid of the dandelions. And he did it and it didn't work. He went somewhere else and they for more advice. And they said, well, if you do X, Y, Z, it'll get rid of the dandelions. And that didn't work. And so finally he wrote the Department of Agriculture, the United States government, Department of Agriculture. He said, dear to whom it may concern, I've tried this, I've tried that. And what should I do to get rid of these dandelions in my lawn? And the Department of Agriculture wrote back and said, try getting used to them. Come on now. If you can't, sometimes you just can't change things. Sometimes it's not always like you like it. Sometimes it's not your preference. I mean, you can sit there mad, lips poked out, upset. Everybody else is upset. And see, a lot of times, here's the deal when you know you're in the flesh. It's not that you're upset. You want other people to be upset with you because you want other people to be upset like you're upset. That's when you're in the flesh. Man, I might not like a certain thing, but if I'm looking over here and they're liking it, and I'm looking over there, they're liking it, and I'm looking up and everybody else is liking it, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say, well, I don't personally like it, but I like that they like it. No amens out there on that one. I don't think y'all like that too good. Oh, somebody say amen. Oh, patience. What is patience? It is blazing hope, not just enduring it, but enduring it with a purpose. Why is patience important? It is necessary for maturity. You can't be patient and immature, or you can't, if you're going to be mature, you've got to be patient. It's necessary for victory if you're going to win the battle. It's necessary for prosperity if you're going to grow and increase the harvest. It's necessary for tranquility if you're going to have peace of mind. Give the world a smile. You can't be sad and unhappy at the same time. Sometimes just get used to it, what you can't change. You might say, well, my yard is full of dandelions. Well, praise God. God made the dandelion, and I'll just, they'll be, in fact, it reminds me of Amy Carmichael. She wanted blue eyes. She was born with brown eyes. And all the girls around were like, had blue eyes, and she was jealous. She said, Lord, you know, make my brown eyes blue, you know. And that's a country song, by the way, for you. Those of you who are millennials have never heard it. From a lady named Crystal Gayle. Go Google it on YouTube. It'll make you cry every time. Don't it make my brown eyes blue? She prayed for blue eyes. But one day, God called her to be a missionary. And where did she go? She went to India. And they were going to arrest all the missionaries, but the people hid her. And the way they could tell if it was an English missionary, they would look at the eyes. And they looked at Amy Carmichael. She was English. But guess what she had? And guess what most of the Indians have? No, brown eyes. I'm patient, brother. No problem. It's only 8:05. Why are we in a hurry for? Let's sing Kumbaya, my Lord, Kumbaya. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But let me tell you, if you don't have blue eyes and you got brown eyes, listen, God's got a purpose for it all. Amen. And be happy, be patient to what God is doing. So what is patience? How to have, number three, not only what is patience and why is it important, but let me close with how can you have patience? How can you have patience? You don't want to know how to have patience? Think of where we are in the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is what? First of all, what? And then what? And then what? Somebody say love, then joy, and peace. It's no accident that patience comes number four. Because really, patience or long suffering is a conglomeration of love, joy, and peace. Amen? Patience comes from love. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love and verse 4. Love suffereth long, or charity. The word charity means love. Love suffers long. Or Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbear one another in love. Let me tell you, in church, you got to be patient with people. That's a very thing that I've struggled with as a pastor. I'd have people on this level spiritually, and then we have to deal with people on this level spiritually. And sometimes the real spiritual people will get a little impatient with those that are still growing. And most of the time they'd say, well, they ought to know better by now. Be patient with people. Be patient with preachers. Even preachers. You need to be patient with preachers. Now, we're blessed. We have a pastor that's in his 70s. He is strong and mature. But with me and Pastor Jonathan, you better be patient with us. We're still young and growing. And particularly, Brother John. No, I'm just kidding, brother. But I mean that in a true sense of the word. Preachers are growing, too. Preachers' wives are growing, too. Deacons are growing. Listen, we got to be patient with one another. Oh, well, I'm going to go to church down the road. It's more spiritual. No, you just see it on the outside, and you get on the inside, it's going to be just as problems there, too. Can I get an amen? Just be patient with people. Just pray for people. Amen. Don't get self-righteous and think, well, I'm glad I'm more spiritual than that one. No, let me tell you something. None of us should look like that. We should all be saying, it's not that I'm more spiritual than that person. It's this. Why am I not as spiritual as Jesus? That's who we're to be looking for. Can I get an amen? Patience comes through love. Love people. Love them in their, love them to the higher level and be patient with people. Work with people. With children, if you're a teacher, some of you Royal Rangers and girls ministries, be patient with those kids. Sometimes they come from homes and they don't have any love whatsoever and they're hard to work with. But we have an opportunity to show the patience and the love of God. Not only does patience come from love, it comes from joy. Somebody say the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, I mentioned this a while ago. Laughter is life's shock absorber. If you're having trouble with impatience, have a little laughter. Give the world a smile. Relax. Turn around to somebody. Just relax. Chill out. Tell somebody to chill out. It's going to be all right. God's not dead. He's not going to be impeached. And he's not planning to resign. And then peace. Somebody say peace. Love, joy, peace. Patience comes through peace. You know, we can stir things or we can settle things. Blessed are the peace, for theirs is the kingdom of God. I'm going to close with this. I can tell y'all getting tired. And your patience is wearing thin. You're ready to go home. But give me about 15 more minutes. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. Patience. Patience. Somebody say, I'm waiting on the Lord. And he will renew my strength. I was reading about the Anjali mission in India. Anjali mission. In India. It began in the middle 1800s. Would you stand with me? Just get a CD ready to play, guys. That song, Brother Baker, that you use on Friday nights for the prayer is fine. Because I'm going to call the people up. But don't play it until I let you know when I'm right ready, if you don't mind. But this is worth listening to. They started a church there. The only evangelical church in India at that time. They named it the Lone Star of India. It was the only Bible preaching church in that whole nation. Folks, we're blessed to have a church on every corner. And nobody should hear the gospel twice, really, until everybody's heard it at least once. But you've heard it more than twice. They named it the Lone Star of India, and that church was there for 15 years. Somebody say 15 years. 15 years of prayer and labor and money. And after 15 years, do you know how many people they had won to the Lord? Do you know how many people after 15 years they had won? How much? Lower. Higher. Bingo. They hadn't even won as many as one a year. 15 years and only 10 converts in that whole nation. And so the mission board said, we're going to close it. We're going to close it. It's a failure. We're going to back out. But there was a man on that mission board whose name was Samuel Smith. Samuel Smith wrote the song, "My Country, 'Tis of Thee, Sweet Land of Liberty, on Thee I Sing." His heart was broken, and he didn't think they should close the Lone Star of India. He went back to his room that night, and he took out his pen, and he wrote a song. "Shine on, Lone Star, in grief and tears, and sad reserves oft baptized. Shine on amid thy founder's fears. Lone stars in heaven are not despised." And he took that and he read it to the mission board, and they said, "Well, we'll just let the Lone Star of India shine on. We won't close it." And 30 years later, they had 15,000 members. I want you to lift your hands to heaven and thank Him that God is up to something. You can go ahead and play a CD. When we don't realize it, Brother Jonathan Stafford, when we don't realize it, when we're driving those vans to church, Brother Joey Tedder, when you're teaching those young boys, Brother Kyle and Sister Beth, when your marriage is strong and you show love to one another, we don't realize that, the patience waiting upon the Lord, one day, maybe this church will have 15,000 members. People say, "Well, I haven't seen people get saved." First of all, you need to win people to the Lord. Second of all, we don't know what God has got. And when we sow a seed, I want you to step out of your seat and I want you to come and I want you to ask the Lord to help you to cultivate the fruit of patience. Young people, you got to learn to be patient. You got to learn to be patient with your teachers. You got to learn to be patient when it comes to relationships. Step out and let's have a closing prayer. I'm going to ask Pastor Jonathan to come and close us in prayer in just a moment. But Lord, as we come tonight, Lord, we know sometimes we don't see the reward to our efforts. Maybe there's somebody here tonight in a struggle in their marriage, God. But Lord, give them the patience. Maybe there's some children, Lord. A parent is dealing with children and issues of patience, God. And maybe, Lord, we've prayed and we haven't seen an answer to prayer. Lord, may we rejoice in the Lord. The joy of the Lord. I didn't even mention that. But the joy of the Lord is our strength. God, we thank you, Lord, that even the stops, when we're at the stop sign and we're waiting and waiting, that God, you are there with us. And you've got a plan and you've got a purpose. It doesn't happen overnight. It's not instant. It's not microwave. God, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace, and long-suffering, patience. God, as we lift our hands to you tonight, we're waiting for the blessing. We've tithed, we've given. And Lord, we know that it's coming back to us. The harvest, it's harvest time. God, you're going to bring forth a mighty harvest as we wait upon the Lord, as we sow our seed, as we are patient and faithful and standing for the righteousness of the Lord. And God will give you the praise tonight. Somebody say amen.